Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Welcome to today's podcast. It's been an amazing journey. Big shout out to every one of you. Some of you have been following from Matthew chapter 1. We did Matthew, we did Mark, we did Luke, and you have been following. Ah, my God, we bless you in the name of Jesus. You know, I like to tell people, I still have my sermon note of 2007, 2006, 2008, 2009. I still have all the sermon notes. And you see, sometimes when I go back to those sermon notes, it just blesses me. Unfortunately, they are all, I kept them with someone in Nigeria. And, you know, it's more like there is a treasure. You know, when Paul was writing and he said, bring my parchment. He was asking someone in the book of 2 Timothy 4:13. He says, when you come, be sure to bring the coat I left in Kapos at Troas. Also bring my books and especially my papers. So I have a friend that is going to Nigeria very soon. And I'll be asking him to bring some of my books. Hallelujah. I'm going to be fulfilling scriptures. Yeah, so those sermon notes you're taking, very important. I mean, I know someone has been taking notes of all the podcasts from Matthew 1 till now. Wow, God bless you in Jesus' name. Okay, so we are going straight to our Bible study class. Then we are going to Luke chapter 21 today. Luke chapter 21. And then we're going to be looking at basic lessons that we can learn from the book of Luke chapter 21. It begins with the widow's two mites. And my prayer this morning is as we look into this parable and make much more, you know, this is actually not a parable anyway, but as we look into this chapter, the Lord God Almighty will give us light in Jesus' name, and we'll receive understanding, and then we'll receive the grace to put them to practice in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says, and he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, you know, more than all. Now listen to verse 4. For all this out of the abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty. Now Jesus did not say put in two mites. Jesus says put in all the livelihood that she had. Everything she had, she gave it to Jesus. Everything she had, this poor woman gave it to Jesus. And you know, this comes back to what I have said many times about giving. Giving has to be, that's to occur to you like you are giving everything that you have. Now, that's not something very easy, but you need to come to that point where you are not sharing your money into 20 parts and you are saying, this particular part is for God, the remaining part is mine. There is nothing that is ours in the New Testament. Everything that you have belongs to God. You know, I have said it many times. I've come to a point in my life where I collect money and I ask God, please direct me as I spend this money. What should I do? How should I spend it? Who should I give? Which one should I save? We need to be very accountable to God. I mean, everything that God gave to you, you are holding that thing as a steward, and you are going to give an account of every single thing that he has given to you, including your money, your time, your energy, your intelligence, everything that God has given to you, you're going to give an account of it. So if you're giving to God, give cheerfully, give like it is your last card. Let it cost you something. Don't give God when you are so much in abundance and then your uncle just sent you some amount of money, a large sum of money, and then you took a little from it and then you gave the little to God, and then you start feeling like you've given God something special. You know what David said? He said, may I never come to a point, I'm paraphrasing, that I will give God something and it will not cost me. It has to cost me something. Whatever it is you are giving to God, let it cost you. Let it cost something. You know, I found out that I'm a very busy man. As in, I'm a very, very busy person. But you see, when I tell people I'm busy, a lot of people think it is because I'm at work. It is not even my work that is making me busy. It is because I'm doing too much. I have too much to do for God now, in quote. I mean, I'm doing it to humanity. But you know, whatever it is you're doing to humans, you're also doing it to God. You know, the Bible has actually said that when I was in the prison, you didn't check up on me. So most of the times, I'm probably reading my Bible, doing a particular study, listening to a message. I'm just busy. I'm not going to give my time out for something frivolous or something that is not going to help me grow spiritually. I just want to spend my time with God. So when I say I'm busy, most times it's because I'm doing one thing or the other that is actually God centered. Hallelujah. So everything that you do, make sure God is at the center of it. Give everything to God. Like this woman, don't do anything that will not cost you. Let it cost you everything. You're coming to church, give your whole heart to it. You're serving in church, give your whole heart to it. You're a worker in the fellowship, give your whole heart to it. Don't do it like you're helping the president or you're helping your pastor. Actually, you're not helping your pastor. You're doing this for yourself, and you're doing this to glorify God. You know, I tell people, in the Old Testament, it is fine to give your money. It is fine to give all of these things. God, fine, there is nothing wrong. Money in the Old Testament is not literally money anyway. They were giving rams, giving their livestock, giving their plants and everything. They give all of these things to God. In the New Testament, one thing that God is requiring the most from you is not your money, but you. God wants you, not your money. God wants you, because if he can have you, then every other thing he can get it. That is why he says in Romans 12 verse 1, present yourself. This is what God is looking for in the New Testament. It is not your money that God wants. It is you. By the time God gets you, then every other thing is sorted. So present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. I pray the Lord God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. Verse 5 is very interesting. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. You know those mighty buildings that you guys see today, you know, the beautiful structures and everything, all of those things will be crumbled at the end of the age. Every single thing, those beautiful cathedrals, you know, do you know how many times that we have offended, we have committed sin? You know, we have done something evil because of the things that we want to achieve, because of the structures that we want to build. At the end of the day, those structures will be destroyed. That is what Jesus is saying here. He said, look at this temple, how beautiful that this temple is. Massive donations. You should be able to understand what I'm talking about. If you have been to most big churches, you know, the way we call for money and say, okay, 1 million naira, come out, 1 billion naira, 10,000 naira, people come out and make donations, and then they build that cathedral massive. Jesus is saying at the end of the day, all of these things will be destroyed. See, the lesson I just wanted to pick from that. Now, that's just an illustration, but I just feel there's a lesson we can pick from it. Stop building up treasures for yourself on earth. There is nothing wrong with building treasures, but don't let your heart be attached to it. Everything you build on this earth, remember that it is only temporary. So why should you be building things for the earth? You should actually be building things that will be permanent, something that will last forever. And what is that? Building lives, blessing people. Every soul that you win, there is an account in heaven for you that you have won a soul. I think that is a better asset. That is a bigger investment. So there is nothing wrong with having 10 houses. But every time you have all of these things, remember that all of the things that you have on earth are only temporary. Stop holding those things like they are yours. At the end of the day, they will be crumbled. No matter the donations, no matter how beautiful, no matter the precious stones you have used to build those things, no matter the dedications you have put into your academics and then you come up with first class, every of those things will be useless at the end of the day. So don't use that first class to begin to oppress people. There is nothing wrong with having first class. Don't get me wrong. I'm also a very good student. I mean, I studied well in school, even though I didn't come up with first class. But then I did very well in school. And then all of those things, I must always put it at the back of my head that no matter how big my achievements are on earth, they are only going to what? Perish at the end of the day. They are very, very temporary. So if you have anything in this life, when I bought my first car, I told God, this car is not mine. So I started using it to pick people around. Till today, this is what I use. I've never had to go to work at least once or every time in a week. Maybe once or twice. That's the only time I go to work alone. There's always one person I want to go and pick from here, from there, from here, from there, and then we go to work together. You know, in Nigeria, if you're in Nigeria currently, fuel scarcity, for instance, If you have the opportunity to assist someone, assist. Everything that you have, use it for others. Every single thing. Don't just use it for yourself. Make sure that you are a channel. You are a channel. You are a pipeline. You are not a reservoir. You are not putting everything all together. You know what happens to you when you gather everything all together to yourself? You begin to smell. You begin to get rotten. You need to let go. Imagine not defecating. You are just eating, and you refuse to defecate. You become something else. I mean, you'll be congested, and then there'll be trouble. You'll probably go through surgery. So stop taking in, and not giving out. Whatever it is that God has given to you, whatever that building is, whatever that structure, it is only temporary. So why hold on to it? Something that will not last at the end of the day. May God give us grace in Jesus' name. And then Jesus talks about the signs of the end time. Verse 7, so they asked him, teacher, what will be the signs of the end time? And the first thing Jesus said, do you know that most people have talked about the signs of the end time? Earthquake, wars, rumors of war, this and that. In fact, there are a lot of them on YouTube that they will tell you these are the things you should look out for to signify that end time is near. But what did Jesus say about the first thing Jesus said about end time? Take heed that you do not be deceived. Because there will be a lot of deception. And that's the sign of the end time. Massive sign of massive invasion of false prophets. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And then the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear... So Jesus began to tell us that there will be a lot of false prophets. How do you know false prophets? You know, many... This is one of the things we learned today in our Sunday school, in church. How do you know false prophets? Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. Not just their fruit alone, even... by their message. There are some people that in their message, you will know that they are saying something definitely anti-scripture, anti-God, anti-Christ. Whatever message they preach, and you know, the Bible says their God is their belly. That's the first thing Jesus even said. In Philippians 3:19, the Bible says they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. Three major things that you will use to know false prophets. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And they think about only, this life here on earth. This is how you know false prophet. Their God is their belly. Everything they do, it is for money. They go to preach somewhere. They're already thinking about the honorarium. Everything. Greed. They are not contented. They have a small church, but they want to build a bigger church. Everything they teach in church, money. They brag about shameful things. You see pastors, you see some of them on the altar. They tell you, do you know how much I bought this wristwatch? I bought it $430,000 when I went to Houston. When I went to Maryland, I bought this shoe for $2 billion. You know, they brag about, are they not shameful things? What is wristwatch? I mean, boast about shameful things. And the third thing, they think about everything on earth. They want to build more mansions. They want to build more cathedrals. They want to do everything they think about is earth. All their messages. They don't teach about heaven and hell. Do you know, I found out that you can be in the church for 5 years and they will not open. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And wide is the way that leads to death. Where is that scripture in our churches today? Where is that scripture that says, not all those who call me Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom? Where are those messages in our churches today? You know, beware of deception. Deception is everywhere. You need to be very careful. You know, if I put a small poison, a small dose of powder inside a glass of milk, do you think that milk is going to change? It's not going to change. You will not know. That is how devilish and dangerous poisons are. Deception, it will look like the original, but it is never the original. Be careful. Be careful of a church where you go and for 1 month, for 2 months, nothing about the kingdom is preached. Everything there is about business, money, grow your business, grow your brain, be intelligent, be wise, how to be smart at work, how to be smart in school, how to be successful in your academics, everything, earth. Three things, their God is their belly, they glory in things that are shameful, and then they think about everything on earth. Be careful of those guys. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I'm just going to stop there. You know, I've said it many times. You won't expect me to do everything there is in chapter 21, you know, but I just hope you can go back to your own closet and read up chapter 21 to see more of those signs that we should expect. But I'm more concerned about the first thing Jesus mentioned. Be careful of deception. Okay, so my final charge to you is in verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So the two important instructions that God, Jesus Christ, is giving to us is to what? Watch and pray. How do you watch and pray? You pray. You simply watch and pray. And watching is you listening to the Holy Ghost. You being led by the Spirit as you go about your daily activities, opening your ears to God. There are times God will tell you, don't go this way, go this way. There are times God will tell you, don't change that figure. Don't write what is, this is wrong. Don't ask that question in the exam hall. Manage, do it. I'm going to help you. It is about following the leading of the Holy Ghost. May God strengthen you. May God help us. He will give us grace to remain steadfast till the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining to this podcast. I celebrate you. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now. Hallelujah.